So, of everybody in the room, have you used Blend? Can you raise your hand if you use Blend? Okay, three, four. Are you designers who've used Blend? Developers? Okay, everybody's developers. And not extensively. So, sample data, prototyping. Okay, sample data, because I'm going to show some of that stuff. Okay, and I'll talk a little bit about the project templates as well. I'll just go ahead and get started. All right, so again, I'm going to build, basically, I'm going to build a prototype of the application that we saw just an hour ago, or during the last hour, actually. I'm going to use sample data, move quickly, show how powerful Blend is at both prototyping and creating, designing your Windows Phone user experiences. So there's a lot of really great functionality in here. Not only focused at the designer, but the developer. I think it's definitely something, worthwhile everybody in the room checking out. So first, let's just talk about some of the project templates that you get are that are available to you in Expression Blend. These are also available in Visual Studio, as I'm sure most of you know. So we have the Windows Phone application template, which is essentially an empty template. We have the Windows Phone data bound application template, bound to data, so we have sample data in there. And it shows basic page navigation. You click on a list item and it will navigate you to the details for that particular list item, an example that you can use in your applications. There is also a Windows Phone Pivot application or Panorama. Let's start with that application template. Let's just go ahead and select it because it looks interesting and it shows use of background images and it has sample data all incorporated. Again, to help you get started with your application experiences, you'll want to choose the pattern in the project template that's most appropriate for your particular scenarios. There is also the, let's just do new project. There's also the Windows Phone Pivot application project template. As well as the Windows Phone Control Library, and you can also find the Windows Phone Sketchflow application. For our particular case, the prototype that we're going to be creating that we again saw earlier, I'm going to use the Windows Phone application template. I could use the Panorama template, but I'm choosing this one because I want to define my own sample data. I want to show you how quick and easy it is to do that. Very beneficial for prototyping purposes. And it will just it'll work quite nice, and there are panorama controls and pivot controls that I can drop into this interface as well. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. So with that, I'm going to do, when I work in Expression Blend, I work simultaneously on the design surface and in the XAML. You can do this as well. I think it could be beneficial. The design surface is very nice, but both are possible. And I actually find it very easy to do working in both. So I'm just gonna quickly make a few changes to the elements that we see on screen here. I'm actually gonna get rid of all the content. I'm just gonna keep the layout root grid because I'm gonna add into this layout root grid the panorama control. I'm also going to, as I mentioned, we recommend that you don't have the system tray on, and I'm gonna follow that recommendation. So I'm gonna set the system tray is visible to false. And the supported orientations are perfect. I only want to support portrait. So I'm going to leave those as you see defined here in the XAML. So I think I'm ready to add my panorama control. So I'm going to go to the assets library and I'm going to search for panorama. And of course, it doesn't show up. Let's clean the project and let me just build real quick. So again, I went to the Assets tab and I'm going to search for Panorama. I found the Panorama control and I'm going to double click to add it to my layout root. I'm going to right click on the item and auto size to fill so it fills all of the available space. And at this point, I have a nice foundation to begin building the prototype. Next, I'm going to go over to the Properties tab, and I'm going to name my panorama Weather Watch, which is what we had in our previous application, if you recall. So Weather Watch, and I simply edited the appropriate title property in the Properties panel after selecting the panorama control. Next, I'm going to expand each of these panorama items. I'm going to keep the grid in each of the panorama items, but if you recall, I didn't have a panorama item header, so I'm going to get rid of that because I'm not going to use that. So I'm going to select the header property and just simply delete the text to get this in the state that we saw in our prototype previously. All right, so now we have an entirely clean canvas on which to work. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create my sample data using the sample data capabilities of Expression Blend, and then I'm going to drop that information into the two grids in my panorama items to get closer to the UI that we saw previously. So let's go over to our Data tab, and let's select this Create Sample Data option, and if you see in the menu here, I can create new sample data, I can import from XML, which I'm not going to do, or I can create sample data from a class. I could choose any three of these options. I'm going to just do everything from scratch. So I'm going to select New Sample Data, and I'm going to create my weather data. So let's just call this sample data weather data. It's available for the project, and I want it to be available also at runtime. So all of those options are appropriate, and then I'm also going to quickly create my alert data. I'll name it alert data, and again, all of the options are appropriate for the project and enabled at runtime. So let's go ahead and specify the sample data that we want in our alert collection. So we had two sets of strings in the prototype you saw previously. One was the title for the alert, the other was the description for the alert, so that's exactly what we're going to replicate here. So I'm selecting this first item. It is currently a string. I'm going to make this the title, and I want the length to be a word count of 1. So I'm going to set those properties appropriately. I'll go ahead and name this title to make it easier to understand what I'm working with. The next one, if I double click on the property name there, it makes it editable, and I'm going to call this details. This also needs to be a string. So I'm going to select string. I want the length to be 100. I'm going to make this a really long alert. Detail information, I'm going to make the max word length 12. So I have some good sample data ready to use. The next thing I'm going to do is I clicked on the tub where you see my cursor is currently. I want the number of records to be 10, which is exactly what they are right now. So I can specify the amount of sample data that I want available to my application. And that's looking perfect. So I'll say OK. Now let's do the same thing. Let's set up our weather sample data. So let's add the weather information, the date or the day of the week, as well as the high and the low temperature. So I'm going to use strings for the weather detail and the date, and then integers for the high and the low temperatures. So let's go ahead and make this a string. It is for the title, I want the, or for the weather, I'll just call it weather detail. That's word count, sorry. I want the word count to be 1, max length, let's make it 12. Again, let's call this weather detail. The next one, let's make this the day of the week. I want it to be a string. I want the word count to also be 1. Let's go ahead and make the max word length 8. And we'll call this day. Let's add two more items. The first one is going to be the low temperature. We'll call it low temp. Again, I want it to be an integer. So I'll select number of length 2 is appropriate, if you recall from the previous application. And now I'll add the high temperature. So we'll call that one high temp. Again, this is a number, not a string, a number. of length 2 is exactly what we want. Now I want to control the data set size. I only got 5 days worth of data, and so I want to make sure in my prototype that I'm getting the same amount of information. So I clicked on the tab, and I'm just going to enter 5, which is perfect. So I have my sample, the two sets of sample data that I want to use. I'm just going to set up the weather data and the alerts data information. So now that I have everything ready to use, I'm going to grab the collection, and I'm going to name the panorama items so that I know which one I'm working on by double-clicking on the title in the Objects and Timeline tool window. I'm going to call the first one Weather Details, and the next one Alert Details, and then I'm going to drag and drop the collection into the grid for weather details for my weather data set. And what it does is it generates a list box with a default data template that we're going to edit and make look like we saw previously. I want the information to fill the available space, so I'm going to auto-size it to fill the available space. Now let's do the exact same thing to our alert data. If we go to our alert details panorama item, select the grid, I can select the collection from the data tab and drag and drop that onto the grid. And again, it generates a list box with a default data template that we'll again edit to suit our particular needs. Right clicking to have it fill the fill the available space. And let's make this a little bit smaller so I can make my application slightly larger. All right, so let's switch between our weather details and our alert details. Not quite what we want. So again, data templates were generated when I dragged and dropped the collections into my grid. So let's go ahead and edit those data templates and get it looking closer to our intended user experience. I'm going to start on the weather details. I'm going to right click on the list box, and I'm going to edit the item template for that list box. I'm going to go ahead and edit the current one, the one that was automatically generated. And I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to have a little bit of water. All right, so we're in the data template. And as I mentioned, I typically work both in XAML and design view. And this is particularly important in this particular case because I want to know which item I'm moving around, whether it's day, high temp, low temp, or the weather detail information. Because I want the weather detail information, for instance, to be at the top. So I could grab that item and drag and drop it to the top of the stack panel, or I could have copied and pasted it in the XAML. I had either option available. So I want weather detail, the day to be next. I want to go from low temperature to high temperature, so I'm going to move the low temperature up one level. And let's just name these to make it a little bit more usable. We'll call this weather. We'll call this day. This is low temp. High temp. All right, so now I know what I'm working with. So let's start styling it so it looks as we saw and as we intend it to look. So I'm going to leverage those theme.resources that I mentioned previously. For weather, I'm going to set the weather font to, if I click on the little square that you see here, I can access the system resources and I can set that font to font family semi-bold, which is what I want for the weather information. I want to set the size, I guess I need a little bit more space here. I want to set the size, again using the system resource. I'm going to try font size huge. That's a little bigger than I want. So let's look at the next option, which would be extra, extra large. It's close. I actually think we'll go ahead and go with it at that size. So I'm bound to the system resources. I'm leveraging those theme resources that I had mentioned previously. Next, let's go ahead and style the day and the high and the low temperature to use the system resource for the font of Semi-Light. I'm going to go ahead and set the day font size to, again, a system resource. I'm going to select large. And for the high and the low temp, I'm going to map it to font size, phone font size normal that we see here. All right, so now I'm going to manipulate and group elements so that we can get it looking like we saw in the prototype that we saw previously. So first of all, I want the high and the low temperature to run horizontally. So I'm going to group them into a stack panel. I've right-clicked on those items after selecting both of them. Select group into and stack panel. They're grouped into a stack panel. Now I want to select orientation, and I want them to orient horizontally. So I'm selecting horizontal, and it's looking closer to my intended interface. Next, I'm going to duplicate this low temp text block. I'm going to copy with a control C and paste into my stack panel. And I'm just going to make this a little circle because I want the little degree symbol. That's what I'm going to use for the degree symbol. I want it beside the low temp and the high temp. I'm control dragging. And we can call that, call it degree symbol 2. So next, let's go ahead and make the text the little degree symbol that we would expect. I'm just simply going to enter for the textual information an O, the lowercase O. I could have done that also in the property panel by typing in here. Again, I work interchangeably between XAML view and the design time view. It's entirely up to you. I do want both of these to be a smaller font, and I'm not going to bind to system resources. I'm going to make it a local value, and I'm going to set the size to 10. And you're right. Thank you. Let's swap these two quickly. I'm just going to call this high temp, and we will make this O2. All right, thank you. So again, select those two, and set the font size to 10, and if I click away, you'll see that we're getting the degree symbol, so it's 34 degrees, 34 degrees. Whoops. All right. So we want this one to be low temp. Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm not going to clean up the names. I'm just going to quickly swap things around so that we can get things looking like we want. Yeah, let's swap that to, let's swap that here. That needs to be high temp, and let's move this down. All right, okay, I got it. Done. So I'm going to control click and duplicate that 0 because I'm going to use the font that I've specified there for the little slash symbol. I'll set the font size for this to 12. Actually, I'll set it to phone font size normal. Just like the actual temperatures. Let's make sure that I have these all correct. Let's bind them to that system resource, phone font size normal. All right, so that's all looking correct. I want to group the day and the high and the low temperature into another stack panel. I want those to align vertically, which they currently do. But I'm also going to add another element, that line that we saw. So I'm going to group them into a stack panel. Nothing changed. I'm going to add one more stack panel just around all of this so that I can incorporate that line and have everything run horizontally. So if I expand this, we have all of our elements in place. And I used a border, if you recall, for that line. So I'm just going to select the stack panel, move my border up to the front of those elements, I'm going to orient my stack panel horizontally, select my border. I want the border thickness to only to be zero on all sides except the left-hand side, so I'm going to select the property for that and specify zero for all sides except the left-hand side, as we're seeing here. The height, I'm going to go ahead and set it to a 50. I want the width to be 1, 2. And I want the border brush color to bind to my system, the system resource color for the foreground color. Let's do the exact same thing to all of our fonts. Let's just get them all bound to the system resources properly so they respond to user theme changes appropriately. I've selected all the text, and I'm going to the Color Resources tab, going down to where the font color is defined, and I'm selecting that. And everything is bound as I'm intending. The next thing I want to do, just to make this a little bit more visually interesting at this point in the design process, is I want to set the weather details to the font accent color, just to make it a little bit more interesting to look at, like I'd mentioned. Let's add some padding between the line and the associated information. We'll add it to the right. We'll make it 12. I hit the tab key. Let's do it on the other side because I selected the stack panel. Okay, now we have the spacing as intended, and things are looking close to planned. The border brush is bound to the foreground color. Okay, all right, that's looking correct. So the next thing is I want to move that information for the day and the high and low temperature so it aligns over to the right as we saw in our prototype. So I'm going to go ahead and select the stack panel that contains all of that information. And I'm going to align it left, and then I'm going to set a margin on the left-hand side to push it over to this point that I want it to sit at. So it's looking close to what I want. I'm going to go ahead and leave it. And if I go to the design time view, you'll see that we're getting very close to what we want the interface to look like. Let's go ahead. This is very close. Let's go ahead and make the changes to the alerts information before we do any visual finessing using our grid. So if I go to the list box, again, I want to edit the auto-generated data template. And to do that, I'm just going to right-click on the list box, edit additional templates, select the item template. I'm going to edit the current. Again, I want to know which item I'm currently changing. So if I select the two text blocks here, I want the title to be on top. So I'm going to, in the Objects and Timeline tool window, I'm just going to drag and drop it above the details. So now I have everything in the proper position. So let's go ahead and style the information. I want the font for both of these to be normal. The system resource for phone font family normal. And I want the size of the title text to bind to the large font size, the body text to the normal font size, leveraging all of these system resources that are available to you as well. And I also want the colors of both to be bound to the system color resources. Again, in my properties panel, I'm going to do that. If I select the alert title, I'm going to go ahead and bind that to the accent color. So simply select the accent color. The body text I want to bind to the phone foreground color. All right, so everything's looking much closer to how I intended it to look. Now let's go ahead and get the two panels, the two columns of information in place. To do that, I'm going to hard code the size, the width of the stack panel that contains my alert information to 188. I'm also going to select the text block because if you recall, the text block showed quite a bit of the alert details information. So I'm going to allow that to happen by going up to the search panel here, and I'm going to select the word wrap. It's not wrapping currently. I'm going to set it to wrap. When I did that, sorry about that, we see that I have 100 words available in this details information. I want to fix the height of that text block so only a portion of it shows. But I'm definitely heading in the right direction. So if we go back to our properties panel, let me expand these items here. I have the text block selected with the details information, and I'm going to set the height on that text block to a height of, let's make it 180. Getting closer. I also want to add a little bit of padding, vertical padding between each data item. So to do that, I'm selecting the outermost stack panel, and I'll add a bottom margin of 12. Let's make it a little bit bigger. Let's make it 18, a little bit more space. So it's looking closer. We're getting there. Now let's get the wrap panel in place so we can see our two panels of information. To do that, I'm going to need to add a reference to the toolkit. I don't currently have one, so I need to right-click on References here, and I need to select Add Reference. And in Blend, you need to navigate to the specific path where that DLL lives. I've already done that, so I've gone straight to it, but it's in Windows Phone, the SDK. Let's take a look at the path. Let me go all the way back up so we can just see where it is. So when you're actually doing this yourself, you'll know what you're working with. So if we start at the C colon level, we go into Program Files, Microsoft SDKs, Windows Phone, 7.1, Toolkit, August 11. I'm going into the bin directory, and I'm just selecting that DLL. All right, so I'm going to quickly clean and rebuild my project so that I have access to the wrap panel. The build succeeded. So I'm going to go into my assets library and type wrap. I have my wrap panel ready to use. Okay, so now what I need to do is I need to go into, right-click on the list box, go into Edit Additional Templates, and I want to edit the Items panel. So I'm going to go ahead and select the only option here, which is Create Empty. And let's go ahead and make it available at the application level. And I'm going to go to split view so we can see what we're working with. You can see the items panel is made up of a stack panel. We want to change that to the wrap panel. So I'm going to delete the stack panel and double click on wrap panel. Now I have a wrap panel, and we can see the two columns of information are in place, and we're getting much closer to our intended user experience. So let's step out of this particular item template. I'm going to use this navigation bar at the top by clicking on list box. I jump back up to mainpage.xaml. And again, it's getting much closer to our intended user experience. Let's add a little bit of padding on the left and right between these two columns of information so we have a little bit of breathing room. I'm going to go ahead and edit again the items template for this information, and let's just go ahead and add, let's leverage the system resource for phone margin, and I still want to leverage it, but I need to make my columns of information a little less wide. So now I think I have things looking pretty close to how I want them to look. All right, so if I run this, let's just take a look at our current state in our application. It's responding to the user theme settings, so I have an accent color of red. It's responding appropriately, and if I actually go back to my settings, and let's select the light theme, and we'll go ahead and leave it red. Let's go back to our application. We'll see that things are responding appropriately as intended, because we've been using those system resources the entire time. Again, things are looking very close to our intended user experience. Let's go ahead and add the alert details page and the toolkit transitions for navigating to those pages. To do that, we'll go back into Blend, and I'm going to step out of the data template. for the weather information back to mainpage.xaml. And let's go ahead and add a new item to our project. We're going to add a page. Let's add an alerts page, XAML page. I'm zooming out. Let's go ahead and quickly title this properly. This is alert details. And for the title for this particular page, I'm going to go ahead and data bind to the alert information that we've generated. I'm going to select title, and it's binding properly to the information. Next, I want to add, I'm going to select this application title text block, and I'm going to control click and drag it into my content panel, which is provided as part of the page template. Let's go ahead and get rid of the name on that particular element, and let's style this appropriately. First of all, we want to bind, data bind, to the alert data set information, the details information. So I've clicked on the little square next to the text property, and I'm going to select data binding. Go into the collection, and I'm going to select details. Okay. So everything, we're binding to the information correctly. Again, that text block needs to be set so the information wraps. So I'm going to go over to my properties panel, into the search pane, type WR. I see the text wrapping property. I'm going to set it to wrap. Things are looking much better. Now I just want to double check that the text is sized properly. I'll select my text block. I'm going to map the size to the phone font size normal. I'm also going to map the foreground font face to phone font family semi-light. And the color resource to phone font phone foreground color. Let's go ahead and do that with all of our text blocks. Okay. The phone foreground color. Okay, so it's looking close to how we intended things to look. So now what I'm going to do is set up the page navigation. And I have a behavior that I'm going to use, and you can use behaviors as well, and we can talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So if we go into our Assets tab, you can see the tooltip here available in Blend. I can go down to the Behaviors node, and in the Behaviors node, there's a bunch of behaviors that I can leverage. I can call a method action, a property action. I can control storyboards using these behaviors. I can modify data state. I can do fluid move behaviors. I definitely recommend that you guys check these things out a little bit more in detail because they're really powerful. I can also navigate to a page. So I'm just going to double click to add that to my layout. I'm going to step back up to mainpage.xaml, bring it into view, and I'm going to make sure that I have my alerts list box selected, and I'm going to select my navigate to page action. Double clicked on it, and it's now associated with my list box, so when I click on my list box, it's going to navigate to the page that we've just generated. So now I want to select the target page over in the properties panel for this particular behavior. I'm going to select that page that I've just created, my alerts page, and my page navigation will work as intended. So if we build, we can take a look at things in action. All right, so we're navigating to the page that we've just created. This is just a prototype, so it's not mapping to the specific data that I've clicked on. Totally okay for prototype purposes, obviously not okay for a real-world application. You'd have to take things further, but it's very valuable and allows you to move quickly when you are creating your prototype applications. So let's quickly do what we did previously in the last session, and let's apply the page transitions and that tilt effect on our list box items so that we can make it a little bit more interactive and a little bit more exciting. For this, I do have to step out of Expression Blend. I don't have to, but just to move a little bit more quickly, I'm going to step out of Expression Blend into Visual Studio because there's not an easy way to leverage the toolkit samples in Expression Blend. So I'm going to go into Visual Studio, open my project, go to mainpage.xaml. In Visual Studio, I tend to not look at the design surface. I tend to work in XAML, as we saw previously. So I'm going to maximize for working on the XAML. And let's go down to our alerts list box. So that is here. All right. Let's try that again. So yes, this is right here, our alerts list box. We can see that this is our alert details panorama item. This is the list box that's sitting inside. This is what we want to work with for a tilt effect. I'm going to go ahead and add that first. I just want to double check that I have the toolkit namespace reference, and I don't. So let's go ahead and add that using my snippet. I scroll over, you see that I've added the namespace reference for the toolkit. This will allow me to access all of the great functionality that's available in the toolkit. Now I'm going to add that tilt effect. So again, as you saw previously, toolkit, tilt effect is tilt enabled. Let's go ahead and set it to true. Now we have the tilt effect in place. All right. So now let's do the page transitions. Again, now we're seeing this all from scratch. I had some things moving a little bit quicker before, so you see how this really works. I'm going to go down to the root frame, which is in phone application initialization in app.xaml.cs. Expand that node. Let's go down to where our root frame is. It's defined right here. We want to set the root frame to the transition frame provided in the toolkit. That will allow us to do those nice page transitions. I've saved my file. We'll go ahead and close that and back up to the main body of mainpage.xaml. And again, as we did previously, let's just go ahead and place that transition XAML into our page. All right, so we have the transition XAML in place. Actually, I've done the wrong transition XAML. I'm with this first bit of XAML here. So the reason that I wanted this is because I have, let's take a closer look at this. This time we didn't look very deeply at it before. So it's the XAML for the page transitions. For navigation in transition, there are several things that you can choose. I can choose navigating into that page hitting the back button, or you know, by some sort of forward navigation, maybe clicking on a button or a link in a previous page, which I'm not going to use in this particular case. The same applies when I'm navigating out of a page. I can backward navigate out of a page using the back button. I can navigate out of a page also using a forward action, a forward button, or some other link within my interface. So I'm allowing for all of these options when I back out or navigate out of a particular page, and I'm using the turnstile transition for both of these, actually for all three of these, as you can see here. And for the mode, I have several modes that I can choose from. I can backward in, backward out, forward in, and forward out. I want backward in for a back button press on navigating forward into this page. If it gets a little bit, you'll just have to play with it a little bit. It sounds really complex. It's actually, it'll make sense when you play with it a little bit and explore what's available in the toolkit. So I highly recommend that. So the last thing we need to do is open our alerts page XAML. And again, we need the reference to the toolkit namespace. And we'll add our page transition XAML. That's not the one I wanted. I want this one. So in this case, I'm doing the forward in turnstile page navigation. When I navigate out via the back button, I'm doing the backwards out turnstile navigation. So that's all specified here in the XAML. So now we are ready to run our application and see that it's getting much closer to our intended user experience. And I'm going to run it from Blend. All right. So I'll go ahead and hit F5. So when I press on one of these items, you saw the tilt effect, and we have the nice page transitions. So things are definitely looking much closer to our intended experience. We're getting there. So the next thing I want to do is let's take advantage of the grid that we saw previously, and let's do some alignment. Let's also add a few more behaviors. I have a behavior that I've created to modify the color of the text for the current weather details, as well as a behavior that as the data loads, it will roll in, you know, make the information in the list box appear to roll in. I will actually make these behaviors available so you guys can look at them a little bit more deeply and leverage them if you choose to later, because I won't have time to go in depth into them. But this will make the interface not only more aesthetically pleasing, a little bit more aligned with the Metro design language, consistent with our native applications, and a little bit more exciting. So to do that, I have this grid image that I'm going to add to my project. Add an existing item. It's on my desktop in my assets folder. All right, so we have the grid in place, and I'm going to go ahead and lock my panorama. In Blend, you can lock elements so nothing moves when you're adding other elements or manipulating other elements in the interface. I don't want to touch my panorama. I simply want to add my grid. So I'm selecting my layout route, double-clicking to add my grid. It looks like it filled all of the available space. Just to double size, I'm going to choose auto size fill. It is aligned properly and ready for me to use for alignment purposes. I'm going to duplicate it just so it's a little bit more bold and helps me align things a little bit better. And now let's just quickly go through the process of making it a little bit more aesthetically pleasing and leveraging the power of this grid. So zoom in a little bit. And as you can see right off the bat, like the elements on the left are overhanging our grid. We want them to align neatly with that grid. And it would be also appropriate to group the elements for each data item a little bit more closely together and just make the padding and spacing between elements a little bit more logical and a little bit more well spaced. So we'll go ahead and do that. Again, we just go into that data template. We're going to edit that current item, and I'm just going to manipulate some of the properties, starting with the left margin. I'm going to set it to 6. Things look like they're aligning nicely, and let's go ahead and select the day and high and low temperature, and let's make it sit a little tighter with the current weather description information that it's associated with. So I'm going to give it a negative margin of 30, a little bit too much. Let's try 20. Things are aligning much better, and let's have the baseline of the details align with the baseline of this row of grid elements that you see here that I'm mousing over. To do that, I'm going to give this a negative margin of 6. And now let's make sure all subsequent items in the data template also align with one of those rows at the baseline. To do that, I've selected the stack panel, and I'm going to give it a bottom margin. And we'll play with this a little bit just to make sure we get the alignment proper. And it's actually looking pretty close now. Looks like it needs to be 17. So as you can see, I have everything aligning consistently and nicely with the grid, and things seem to be grouped nicely together. It just feels a little bit more consistent and holistically works together. Let's use the grid and do the same thing to our alert details. Again, we're going to go into the data template, edit the current item. All right, so in looking at this, the left margin, it's actually working quite well. What I do want to do, though, is I want to make sure that each item kind of sits together as a group and kind of feels like one unit. And I might use the information that we see over here for the weather details to help me align these elements a little bit better. So I'm just going to play with things a little bit. So I'm actually going to convert to a local value for my margins so that I do have some freedom. I was binding to theme.resources. It's not actually appropriate in this particular scenario because I do want to play with things a little bit. So first, let's add a bottom margin, make things spaced out a little bit more for each grouping of information. And I think I'm going to get rid of the top margin and actually make it negative because I want the baseline of that title text to align nicely with that row. Let's fix the next set of information. I'm manipulating the bottom margin and just kind of eyeing to make sure that everything's aligning nicely with the grid. So I have things looking like everything's kind of aligning nicely with each, you know, row in that grid. As you can see, like the baseline for the title text aligning nicely here at the baseline, same here. I have things kind of heading in the right direction. I'm going to go ahead and leave it as is because it's working quite nicely. And I'm going to step back up real quickly. I'm going to turn the grid off because it served its purpose and I don't want it to visually distract me anymore. By deleting that first one, I'm just going to go ahead and collapse the second one because I may want to use it later. And let's take advantage of that behavior that I had mentioned, the one that allows the data to roll in, as well as colorize the actual weather details text. To do that, I'm going to go ahead and go into the data template for this item one more time. And so I'm selecting that weather details text, and I have a couple of behaviors that I haven't added to my project yet, so let me go ahead and add those and rebuild so that I can leverage them. Those are also sitting, in my assets folder. So I'm going to add existing items. So I have roll-in data and set weather text. These are the two behaviors that I want to take advantage of. Go ahead and add them to my project. Again, to take advantage of them, I need to rebuild. So I'll do that real quickly. Build succeeded. And now I can go to my assets tab and go to the behaviors node. I was currently on it. And I want to take advantage of the set weather text. So I've again selected that weather text that I want to apply that colorization to. I have my behavior ready to leverage. I'm simply going to double click on it and it's now associated with that weather details information. And when I run, the color of that text will be colored depending appropriate for the particular weather, the temperature range. That took me a while to get out. The last thing I want to do with this particular data template is I want to make the items roll in the list box. So again, I have a behavior for that. I'm going to select the stack panel and go to my behaviors tab and I'm going to double click on the roll in data. It's going to apply that behavior and I'm going to do the same thing with this roll in behavior now with my alerts data and we'll go ahead and run the project and you'll see that it's looking a lot more visually interesting, a lot more exciting. Embracing topography and the animations and transitions and effects are really going to make it a lot more exciting. So back up to our alerts list box, we're going to go into its data template to leverage that role in behavior. I'm selecting the stack panel. In the assets tab, I'm again going to behaviors, selecting role in data. And if I build, will see that things are a lot more visually exciting and interesting in our experience. Let's try that one more time. It looks like I made a mistake. Let me remove one of these behaviors and try building so we can track down where my mistake is or just skip over it. Because there is one last thing I would like to show you. All right, so clearly I had done something incorrect with the behavior that would colorize the text, but we did see that the roll-in behavior, this encapsulated code, I'm quickly able to leverage it using expression blends. So you developers, clearly you can create these great behaviors that you can utilize in your for prototyping purposes in your final projects. Your designers that you're working with could also leverage these, making them a little bit more powerful when they're creating these prototypes. So they're really, really definitely something you're going to want to check out a little bit more deeply if you haven't already. Has everybody in the room used behaviors? Can you raise your hands? A lot of people. Check them out. Very powerful and a nice way to encapsulate code and make it reusable and easy, again, for designers to use as well. All right, so the last thing I want to do is, because we actually have 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, and I really, we took a little bit longer of a break than I had intended. I'm not going to have time to, what I wanted to do is I wanted to show how to create an animated splash screen. I will make this project available for you guys to check out so you can see how I did that. I just won't have time to actually walk through the entire process. If you have questions about it, please ask me. I'd be happy to show you maybe later, if you're interested. So I was going to show that as well as how you could actually create a splash screen that actually seamlessly works with that animated opening transition. Again, I'll make it available on the project. You guys can all check it out. So that leaves us with questions. Does anybody have any questions about Blend? Did I show like some new stuff that you guys who do use Blend haven't used before? I know I was doing a lot of hand tweaking because I wanted to show like how you could use that grid to make things like nicely align. And it's clearly important as we saw previously. But yeah, shoot questions. Other things that you guys want to see or maybe talk about later? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's just do that real quick. Because we do have time for that. So I'm going to create, I actually didn't do the images data that we had in the prototype that I showed prior to this session, but let's just create, an image data set. So in our image data set, let's get rid of this. We don't need it. Let's make this property. We'll just call it image. We'll go ahead and set it to an image. Blend will automatically generate images for you if you don't have them, but they're chairs. You may not want chairs. In my weather application, I didn't want chairs. So I actually had a set of images that I wanted to use in my sample data set. So I simply need to browse to those images, select the folder, and let's just quickly, let me add another panorama item. I'm just control clicking. I do this a lot. I actually use keyboard shortcuts a ton, as I'm sure you guys do when you're, doing a lot of your work as well. So delete the list box that currently sits in there. And let's just drag our newly generated data set into this new panorama items panel that we've created. And we see that the images automatically show up there. And then, of course, we'd have to go through the styling process to make it look like it did in that prototype. But it's kind of the process that that I just demonstrated. So, it could be a bit of finessing. You edit one data template, though, and it's, reused throughout that entire list box. So it's not that painful of a process. And it's super valuable. and make sure it's an easy way to make sure that everything in the UI is consistent. So is there anything else that anybody wants to see that I didn't get a chance to show, or any other questions? You guys want the grids? You guys are going to use the grids? They're super powerful. Awesome. Jeff Wilcox, again, like, he has like that grid helper that you can use in debug mode. Definitely beneficial. We'll make this image grid available. Arturo's already made one available in Expression Design. For those of you who want to check out Expression Design, I actually have a Channel 9 or a Silverlight TV tutorial that I did specifically geared towards developers at creating Metro style icons, a process that you can use using like images, and you can actually trace those images in Expression Design and export the product of the work that you've done for your tile and your application images. It's a fairly easy process. It might take a bit of experimentation, but I do it all in Expression Design, so you probably, if you get a chance, check it out. Pretty powerful. And again, Arturo has a grid available there now as well.